to Ella Risbridger for the agreeable fact of her continuing presence, which in 20 years I have never presumed to expect. Part 1. As sad misfortune came over me, which caused me to stray from the land, far away from me friends and relations, betrayed by the Black Velvet Band. The Black Velvet Band, traditional Irish folk song. 1. Conor Cronin was a pudgy boy, he muses, and he made for a pudgy corpse. My father's voice is tinny coming out of the cheap speaker, made worse because the batteries are almost gone. His voice is still good, though. His Kerry accent joyful and compact as a grape. Boy is pronounced B. Corpse is pronounced carps. Are you sure you want to say that, Dad? Say what? Do you want to go on the record calling a little dead boy fat? I said pudgy. It's a story detail, Charlie. Stories need details. Otherwise, it's just a big, long list of things that happened. The dictaphone picks up my long, outward sigh. I hate myself for sighing. For being so vividly exasperated by my own father, who is just trying to answer a question after all. I should have been nicer. I should be nicer. I press my ear closer to the tiny speaker as though it were a seashell or a stringed up tin can. I just don't think it's very, what, politically correct? Don't say it like that. Like what? Like there's something weak about not wanting to hurt people. I click down the big plastic stop button on my old dictaphone. I bought it the year I turned 25, when Laura went travelling and I'd moved home. I was supposed to have gone with her, but my dad's cancer, which we had been promised would be zapped quickly by chemotherapy and be in the rearview mirror of our lives before we knew it, came back. The cancer and I have spent the last 4 years boomeranging to my father's bedside. I have been tailing this disease like an undercover cop, furiously taking notes on his progress and letting my 20s slip by in the process. I've tried to be productive. It's what you do. Life is what happens when you're making other plans. People love telling me this, particularly as they are making other plans. I use the time at home to write scripts and to interrogate my dad in daily interviews about his childhood in Clipham, a small island off the west coast of Ireland. Interviews that made him feel famous and made me feel like there was a point to me being home in the first place. I thought, as the creative one in the family, it was my job to be my father's biographer, to preserve the official record of his unusual and tragic life story. Soon, the two activities started to bleed into one another. What was the point of me writing endless, never-to-be-commissioned screenplays when there was a real story sitting right in front of me? By the time Laura was back from her year abroad, I had both the script and the grant funding to make the movie that would eventually become It Takes a Village. It took 2 years. 2 years of sharing everything, from the microwavable ready meals to cigarettes to the mildewed queen-sized bed that we were half certain had bed bugs. If I'd known it would end so quickly, I would have treasured it more. Now Laura's gone again, lost in the undertow of heterosexual commitment and surprise weekends in Belgium, leaving me to mope around in our old bedsit like a ghost. I still seem to spend most of my time in Essex, hanging around my parents' house, listening to old recordings of my dad telling me about his early years, and trying to believe that it is possible to beat cancer for a third time. I have memorised my father's childhood so well that my own feels like tracing paper over a much stronger image. His earliest memories are ones of drama, death and destruction. My earliest memories are of hearing about it. Pudgy. What a word to use. Festive and jolly and sweet. I press play again. I can hear my dad, sounding rudely, obnoxiously healthy, despite it being his second bite of the cancer cherry, tutting me under his breath. Charlie, my love, he says, a little song in his voice, the song that always creeps back in when he's convinced of his own moral fortitude and wants to be playful about it. If you think you can get through a story like this without upsetting people, then... The little light on the dictaphone fades from traffic light red to a dull cherry, and then to grey. The battery finally runs out, and I don't get to hear what happens.